Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Lingraphica Radio, everyone. We're live from the floor of Asha. You can hear the buzz in the background. It's an exciting day, and we're interviewing... That's pretty loud. We're interviewing Lisa Haynes, Manager of Clinical Affairs at Lingraphica, and Leland Wheeler, Clinical Operations Director at Genesis Rehab Services. Welcome, guys.
Hi.
Hi, Leland. You're there, right?
Hello there. Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Wasn't sure what that announcement was about, but it sounded important in the background.
Yeah, the exhibit hall's closing, but we're just outside the exhibit hall, so I think we're okay.
Okay, great. So we're going to be discussing your guys' poster presentation, which is tomorrow morning, Saturday, at 9:30 a.m. That's Mountain Time because it's in Denver, and you'll be standing at and presenting at board number 405. And it's entitled... Your poster presentation is titled Building a Functional Maintenance Program that Embraces the Life Participation Approach to Aphasia Model. That's the LPAA approach. So, Lisa, let's jump right in. What is a functional maintenance program for speech?
Sure. So a functional maintenance program, and actually if you, the SLPs go to ASHA's website and use the practice portal, which that is just an excellent source, a resource, for SLPs, there's a definition there that states that the program is a maintenance program, which may be established after an initial evaluation and after a reasonable period of time, treatment determines that such a program can be suitable or would be suitable. So a qualified speech-language pathologist designs the maintenance program, and after the program has been established and after the instructions have been given for carrying out the program, the services of the SLP then are no longer covered. So this actually refers to habilitation. If you have ever used that word habilitation, and most of us have heard of rehabilitation, but not necessarily habilitation. In our daily lives, you think of habilitation as, like, you go to the gym just to work out. It's kind of a daily routine. Rehabilitation is something entirely different. So a functional maintenance program is a habilitation program. But just to give you a little more of a contrast there, rehabilitation that occurs when there's been a loss of function. So... just to let you know maybe how those two work together, if a patient or a resident with a communication impairment comes to the SLP caseload, like in a long-term care facility, and this could be someone with aphasia, someone who's had a stroke, what they intend to do at that time is short-term rehabilitation to regain what has been lost. And then they discharge to home or maybe even to the long-term care part of this facility. So this is rehabilitation, and there's an assessment, there's a plan of care, which is carried out, the patient makes progress, and then they're discharged. But those who treat aphasia and know that they know that aphasia is long-term, and it needs to be managed over time. This management, then, is the maintenance part again. In a long-term care setting, the transition from regular skilled therapy or rehabilitation to the nursing program sometimes, though, has a lack of structure or consistent stimulation, and that's really due to the fact that it's really difficult to design and deliver a quality speech-language program for a non-clinical staff member to carry out. In the past, I use something like naming tasks, where they have to name photo cards. This is a comb, this is a brush. But that doesn't really give the resident a lot because we don't communicate that way. The resident needs an opportunity to use the communication skills that they have, and a structured speech-language program can give them those tools to maintain their skills while providing an opportunity to use those skills with a care extender. So that now, given the complexity of the long-term care residents, often you know, those with aphasia and cognitive decline, this ultimately is going to result in a decline in function. So then inevitably, due to then that loss, they're going to go back to rehabilitation. And then that cycle continues, rehabilitation, rehabilitation, and so on.
So, Lisa, why is a functional maintenance program important?
Well, actually, there are two main reasons why a functional maintenance program is important. One's around quality of life, and really one's around healthcare management. Leland has been quite focused on the quality of life part of it.
Yeah, definitely. The importance of that functional maintenance program really just ensures that there's a continuum of care once that skilled need has been really satisfied. We would all love to provide never-ending therapy and have it be reimbursed and have the resources to carry it out as the skilled professional. But obviously, just due to caseload limits or reimbursement limits, and even regulations on what is medically necessary, we have to watch, how long and the repetitive nature of our program. So having a functional maintenance program allows that valuable service, that stimulation, to continue to be provided in a regular, ongoing way. That way you don't have that loss of function, that deterioration. People often think of the deterioration physically, but most, the long-term care, the skilled nursing centers do have an obligation to maintain the psychosocial well-being as much as they do the physical. And I think that's why it is so important to have a program, specifically a speech-language functional maintenance program.
For quality of life, continued quality of life, I get it. So, Lisa, how does a functional maintenance program for speech compare to other disciplines, say, physical or occupational therapy? How's it different?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, with physical therapy, for example, the programs in place are quite structured. They can be repeated and repeated consistently by non-clinical staff. For example, a patient is on caseload to learn how to walk again, and when they're discharged, they're transitioned to a functional maintenance program, and that program may be, okay, walk this person 50 feet 3 times per week. So that's really structured. It's that care extender knows exactly what to do. Like I mentioned before, it's a little difficult to structure a program with language, which is why we used a tool that gave them that consistent, reliable care. The SLP just sets up the program through TalkTap Therapy, and the care extender has one button that says start working, and they're able to work a repeatable, consistent plan.
And you're able to get a certain number of results from that, I know as well, correct? Like data.
No, absolutely. Leland and I conducted a pilot study last year in 2014. We used a combination of measures. We used QM indicators, quality measure indicators. We used outcome measures. This study took place over 4 facilities, one in Kansas, Missouri, Texas, and California. And the results across the board were favorable using this tool as the functional maintenance program.
Leland, I want to direct the next question at you, but first I want to set it up a bit because there was a bit of noise earlier with an announcement at the ASHA show. You're Clinical Operations Area Director at Genesis Rehab Services, and I want to read a bit from your website. Genesis Rehab Services is a leading provider of physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, respiratory therapy, and wellness services for the older adult population. You're one of the largest and strongest rehab organizations in the country, and you partner with skilled nursing centers, assisted living facilities, independent living facilities, hospitals, home companies, adult daycare programs, and outpatient clinics to provide comprehensive therapy services. You've got over 18,000 therapists and assistants in more than, in many more than I understand now, 1,700 locations. You're operating in 45 states and the District of Columbia, and you touch 45,000 patients a day. And as you were saying, that number's probably gone up since this was posted. So based on that, you're certainly well qualified to be working on this and understanding it and delivering this information to us. So again, I appreciate you coming by. Can you tell us about your recent success using a functional maintenance program with Lingraphica?
Yeah, definitely. It even goes back, even a year and a half now. A simple question of, do you conduct a functional maintenance program? I think that's the question that Lisa threw out at me. And I, kind of had to chuckle and say, we definitely do. But I think it's just like she had kind of talked to a little bit, it's the consistency of the program. It's, how easy is it to replicate? How easy is it to set up? So we had a lot of motivation to try to find a way to use that tool as the resource for the functional maintenance program at our pilot sites. So originally there was some barriers. Obviously, anytime you introduce a new technology to a work site, especially, in modern healthcare, there's a lot of system lockdowns and HIPAA compliance concerns. And so once we passed all of that and identified the care extenders that could conduct the program, whether it was activities or a family member, or even in some centers, we had students helping to run this program and to provide the stimulation. Once we established who these key players were going to be, the program really started to take a life of its own. We had a few patients really thrive with it, just because of the encounters they were able to get once that skilled therapy had kind of transitioned over to that repetitive, that stimulation program. So it was seen as a very positive step because it was easy. And people knew what they were getting into. Obviously, everybody likes a technological component. They like something that is app-based or web-based. That makes it a little bit more of a heavily marketed thing. People like that kind of thing, whether they're patients or caregivers or even professionals. We all like that. So people really, they adapted to it very well. And we're really asking, can I do this with more patients? So we saw a lot of success in just the carry out of the program. And I think the attitude surrounding having a program available, it seemed to work really well.
So Leland, what I'm picking up on is that there, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like that the understanding within organizations like yours is that clearly after a stroke, for instance, there is an immediate need, such as swallowing. And you've got to deal with those first. And then movement and basic reorganization of your physical life as a patient. And speech has to wait. But it seems like there's a bit of a gap there. Am I right about that? That speech and communication might be lagging, that there's a slight gap in the world of rehab?
It varies from patient to patient, but often the physical limitations, the impairments, are often the most rapid to recover, and maybe even most rapid to have programs established. The language, speech language, and even the cognitive impairments as a result of those kind of issues, they do tend to be long standing and even slower to evolve. The aphasias, especially on someone with a fresh CVA that has an aphasia, the language disorder does evolve, throughout their recovery process. Whereas maybe, on more of the physical side, one program might be you know, stable from start of care throughout the course of the rehab stay, and really with the communication, the techniques and the approaches might have to evolve as that patient recovers to be different kinds of programs altogether. So, yeah, it's definitely, it falls into a more of a unique, you know, more of a dynamic category related to the rehab techniques used. I don't know if Lisa might have anything to add in there.
You know, and as you speak of this, of, yeah, aphasia is long-term, has to be managed over time, and that's really where LPAA comes in, you know, life participation approach to aphasia, because that is the service delivery approach that's driven by that person with aphasia or the caregiver or the family member, where they focus on getting the person re-engaged in life and getting them active and connecting with others. So, you know, that boils down to even accepting your impairment and learning about your new life and how, you know, your new way of communicating, you know, while at the same time, you know, continue your therapy journey, you know, continue to get better, but also learn how to live your life along the way. So it's long term.
I love that, Lisa. That's awesome. So Leland, you touched on the ease of this technology and working it into an FMP. But from a clinical standpoint, what else do you look for in a functional maintenance program?
Yeah, you know,
for
big
instance,
picture clinically.
Sorry, for instance.
Oh, I'm sorry.
For instance, measurement. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, overall in healthcare, in the rehab systems that we work in, it's so important to use evidence-based approaches and techniques that have support behind them, as well as doing things that are really, you know, the term I use is laser-focused. You know, we need to be able to identify the deficits that we need to treat, and we need to use an aggressive approach to get that therapy to them and to make a difference. And so there is an aspect of that that has to continue with a functional maintenance program as well. And so having, you know, a clearly defined program that somebody doesn't have to guess at, and oftentimes, you know, as speech pathologists, you know, we can definitely identify with, we might say that somebody has a problem of maybe memory orientation, and basically, you know, a caregiver or a family might say, no, it's just orientation or whatever. They have their own interpretation because it's not a physical limitation. It's something that exists, you know, internally. And so it's important that our programs be consistent, be evidence-based, are structured in a way that really anybody can carry it out and complete the tasks that we know are beneficial to that individual.
Looks like we have another announcement happening.
Yeah.
So, Leland, is the functional maintenance program you highlight in the poster that you're presenting tomorrow at 9:30 a.m. at board number 405, just want to make sure everyone knows that, is the functional maintenance program you're highlighting in the poster dependent on an SLP to carry it out?
You know, yeah, you know, it's important that the SLP complete a comprehensive assessment to really identify the approaches, you know, the level of cueing that really is the most beneficial for that patient. That way, you know, a program isn't established that is maybe too complex or it's maybe not challenging enough. You know, it's a careful mix of both complexity, you know, in dynamic, you know, language skills that we have to address through these programs. So it's important that the speech pathologist set up the program and then transition it over. Otherwise, you're kind of just randomly picking things and hoping that one of those things you're picking out works.
Now, I know that there are other staff members who play an important role in this care. How do they interact in administering an FMP?
Once the program was established, and they, you know, typically what they did was completed some training, whether it be with the facility staff, the therapy students, or even the family, They really adapted to it extremely quickly. They liked that it was accessible. They liked that it was on different platforms. And it was something that really, I think, they had fun because it wasn't what they were used to doing. It gave them an easy resource that they could, you know, most people nowadays are used to having that app-based, you know, software or web-based. So it's something that most people relate to pretty quickly.
And that really was what made it. That's really what made it a life participation approach to aphasia, bringing in those non-clinical people, the friends, the family members, the grad students. With LPAA, really the goal is to decrease barriers and increase communication partners. And that's exactly what we did in the study. And the functional maintenance programs brought those care extenders to do just that.
Tell me more about that. How do caregivers get involved in this through you? How do they participate? Because that seems so important. Those are the people that someone who's had a stroke are closest to.
Right. Having, it doesn't just affect that individual. It affects everybody around them. So the caregivers are exposed to those language breakdowns and that communication difficulty. So they see this as a platform to, you know, have a back and forth, to have a stimulation that they know is beneficial. Oftentimes caregivers are frustrated by the communication breakdowns that take place whenever there are language or cognitive issues at play. So this really empowers them to do something meaningful, to have a positive relationship with that individual.
It's, you know, when I read the title of some of these posters, they're quite long and they sound somewhat complex. This one now, building a functional maintenance program that embraces the life participation approach to the aphasia model, I get it completely. And I'm not living in your guys' world, but I understand it completely. So I'm sure everyone who's listening in from ASHA or those who cannot participate in ASHA are getting it. And I'm sure they're going to be excited to see what we post online about this. And anyone who can participate in the poster tomorrow morning at 9:30 a.m., Mountain Time in Denver at board number 405 should definitely stop by and hook up with Lisa and Leland and learn more about this. Also, they should stop by booth number 829 to learn more about Genesis Rehab and booth number 332 to learn more about Lingraphica, or go to genesisrehab.com to learn more about Genesis Rehab or aphasia.com to learn more about Lingraphica. There's quite a bit to learn about. I know you guys have a lot going on at the booth this year, Lisa, and very exciting things. I want to thank you both for stopping by to share all this with us. It has been an incredibly informative blog talk show, and I really appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Steve.
Yeah, thank you very much.
And best of luck with the poster. I'm sure it's going to be terrific. We will see you again soon, I hope, Leland, and definitely you, Lisa, on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thanks.